Brother Earl and I had a conversation I want to bring you up on a little while ago. Has to do somewhat with, it's related to the book of Judges in a way, because you have seen what God's own people did when they weren't taught rightly. In Jeremiah, the Lord condemned Israel for offering their children in sacrifice. They had a valley that was the garbage dump of the city, Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, south of Jerusalem, and that's where they burned children to Moloch. Of course, Solomon built an altar specifically for that up on the Mount of Olives. And God told Jeremiah, I never even thought about asking you to do such a thing. But you see it in Judges. God's own people. And you see the city of Gibeah become a city of such perverseness that they shouldn't even talk about it. Gibeah was full of God's own people. Murder? Abimelech murdering all 70 of his brothers, except the one that escaped. It's awful. But it was because the Levites didn't do their job. You see Moses' grandson become an idolatrous priest in the north. Helped pervert Israel's faith for centuries. The descendants of Moses. He was a Levite. He wasn't doing his job. And Brother Earl and I were thinking,
why? What is wrong with the way God wants things done? If the Lord were to ask his people to start putting those big gold rings around their neck, the ladies, when they're small girls, will stretch their necks out to about that tall, the way they do in Africa, because of religion, I can understand people not liking it. If women had to wear skirts year-round, no matter what the temperature was, if you believed that you had to be baptized in water, you were going to hell no matter what Jesus did for you, the way the apostolics and worldwide Church of God teach, I can understand a little of that. If he asked his people to do any number of the strange things, make a pilgrimage to the bones of a dead saint, I can understand people thinking they weren't rich enough to live the life God wanted them to live. But it's just mind-boggling. And it's a mystery of iniquity. Why people don't want God. He's good, patient, merciful, kind, powerful. God's ministers haven't done their job. Whenever anybody finds out what God is really like, they love him. When God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he didn't mean lack of knowledge of how to build boats or lack of knowledge about how to build rocket ships. The lack of knowledge that destroys people is not knowing what God is really like. You cannot really know God without loving him. It'll break your heart to find out how good he is. What's wrong with Jesus? I can understand people not wanting to serve God because they don't want to be a part of Christianity. Because it's surface. You can get by with doing the rituals and the once a week stuff. There's no life in it. But God's way is life. Brother Earl was sitting in the chair and he said, when I found out that about the spirit of holiness, that's what I wanted. I could live right. I could know God. What's wrong with that? There's no life that has anywhere near the joy that God's life has in it, or pleasure at His right hand, or pleasures forevermore. God enjoys living, and He makes you enjoy living.
Amen.
I just can't figure what's wrong with him. And if people that we know don't want him, then we need to make certain that they don't want God, because they just don't want God, instead of not wanting him because of what they see in us. The Lord wants us to treat people right. Love your neighbor as yourself is the second commandment. The first one is to love God. That's why God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves, so that we won't get in their way finding out how good God is. So we treat all men with respect. Peter said, honor all men. Treat everybody with respect, even the rotten ones. And this earth has a few rotten ones.
Oh, yeah.
If everybody was nice, he wouldn't even have to tell us. I treat all men with respect. But it all goes back to God's servants not doing their job. Why didn't the Levites teach Israel the law of God? Why not? Why was the worship of Baal more attractive to them? Or better yet, why did they want to mix it all up? Why did they feel that they needed to find a place for Baal in their lives? What did Baal offer that God didn't have? How many of you have felt joy from the Lord? Did he not have enough? You know? Or understanding? The Lord ever taught you anything? There's just nothing wrong with Jesus. I think the happiest lives that young people can live are holy ones. You don't have to be immoral to be happy. Matter of fact, it'll keep you from it. I just can't find any fault with it, Earl. Somehow, well, I just hope God enables us to show people what God is really like. You know, it's almost cliche now, the only Bible some people read, but it is so true. I can't think of anything good that God forbids you to do if you live a holy life. Now, Jason pushed the limit. I mean, jumping out of airplanes is right on the edge of the good stuff and bungee cords. So not all of our definitions of good will be the same. But what good thing can you not enjoy with God? He's wide open. Life isn't even worth living without you being happy about what you're doing. And you read the story of Judges and you see God's people, even the ones trying to honor God, honoring Him by building an idol. Micah's mother, who had dedicated her silver to build an idol unto Jehovah, who said, build no idols. She didn't even know that Jehovah had said, build no idols. The way of the life of God, the way of the Spirit, is perfect. It's what you want. It's what we pursue, Earl, because there's nothing wrong with it. We don't have to be satisfied with a mixed bag. Some truth, some error. Some holiness, some sin. We don't have to do that. God is wide open. If you want to be upright, righteous, holy, without sin, He's wide open. You can do it. Why don't people want to? Paul said the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Well, He'll stop blinding your eyes when you stop looking at the wrong thing. He blinds your eyes when you look at the wrong stuff. A life of simplicity and peace and truth would have saved all the trouble that you see in the book of Judges, and would do away with every division that exists among God's people. Every one of them, because God's not divided. You know, every time God says something, Jesus agrees with Him. They never quarrel about doctrine. Every time God wants to do something, Jesus does it. And the night before He died, when He prayed His most important prayer, He prayed that we would be made one as He and the Father are one. We don't have to be satisfied with divisions among God's people. That's not part of God. So how do we get away from all of it, except come out of all of it and wait on God to put us all together in Him? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with everybody being one? What's wrong with everybody telling the truth? What's wrong with everybody being filled with God's Spirit?
Amen.
What's wrong with that? So, we don't have anything to do with anything that brings division among God's people. You can go as far and as fast in God as you want to go. Go past us. Teach me. Hear from God. Be filled with the Spirit. Whatever God wants, we want. Maybe. For anybody. Here or anywhere else. But please don't ask me to be a part of something that's not of God. Because I want to stay happy. Why don't those who say they speak for Jesus teach these simple things? Why not, Lou? I know why not. The love of money is the root of all evil. God, save us from that. A trap. It's a trap. And that's where God's people are. They thought that's how to serve God, and when they got in there, they got trapped. But God has opened the trap for us to get out. We came out, and I thank God. I don't understand the half of it, but I'm glad I'm out of it.
Amen. Amen.
What we do have is wonderful. And I wouldn't compromise it any more than I'd let somebody use my wife for a weekend. My face is set. I'm going that way.
Amen.
Praise God. I just can't find anything wrong with it, Patsy. It hurts, doesn't it, Earl?
Yes, it does.
Because you get with people you love, and you want to feel something coming from them. They just don't have it. When you get it, and you can give it, then you know when somebody doesn't have it and is not giving it. Until then, it's just talk. It's called fellowship, and it's the most precious thing on earth. and the condition of God's people in Judges wasn't the last time Israel was in that condition. And it's the condition of God's people today. They're scattered into the 1,000 different sects of Christianity. They thought it pleased Jesus to join in with it. Then they get trapped and divided, and they can't get together. In order for Jesus' prayer to be answered, that those who love Him be made one, the way He and the Father were one, then only one of two things can happen to get that done. Either every child of God on earth must join the same denomination, or they all have to come out of Christianity. There are no other options. And it looks like to me it's a pretty simple choice. God's ever going to get His people together, they've got to come out. Not only just physically, taking your name off a roll is just what that's worth, but in our hearts, to forsake all the different wrong ways that we've made up and throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and say, whatever you say is my doctrine. Whatever you do is my way of doing things. Whatever you want, I do. So that when He says something, we always say amen.
Amen.
When we see Him do something, we do it.
Amen.
Just the same way He does with His Father.
Amen.
That's what He prayed for. He thinks His Father is always right.
Amen.
And we think Jesus is always right.
That's right.
And He doesn't think anybody but His Father is right. And we don't think anybody but Jesus is right. If I ever saw Jesus baptize a person in water, I'd do it. But the Bible tells us He's a minister of a heavenly tabernacle now. He ministers things from heaven. There's a river that He baptizes people in that you can't see. But when He baptizes you with it, it starts flowing out of you.
Amen.
That's what I like.
Amen.
What's wrong with that?
That's right.
That's what I can't understand. What is wrong with that being all the baptism you need? Is Jesus good enough or not? That's the whole issue. The whole issue for Him when He was on earth was, is my Father good enough or not? Are these elders of Israel that are double my age right? Or is my Father right? And He always chose His Father. And He was always right. That's why we choose Him. What's lacking with it? What did he leave out? Think of something, Wendell.
I'm going to get back to you.
Check your minute book and get back with me, will you? Everything Jesus does is just so wonderful to me that it doesn't... I don't have anything left over to want for anything else. There was never any such thing as joining a church before men started making them up. It's not of the will of man. It's of the will of God. We're born by the Spirit of God. Why isn't that enough? Why wasn't the law of Moses enough for Israel? If they felt like they just wanted to sacrifice things to God, the law let them do that. If some of them felt like they wanted to dedicate themselves especially to God, even beyond what he asked them to do, the law provided for that, the law of the Nazarite. And the rules would apply to you that would apply to the high priest. Couldn't touch a dead body. All those kinds of things. As much as you wanted to love God, the law allowed it. You could love God as much as you wanted to. You could hear from God as much as you wanted to. But when men started carving out their own ideas about God and setting them as a standard, then you couldn't hear from God as much as you wanted to. They would become upset with you. I would dare say the overwhelming majority of places that Christianity has in this earth to worship God, if the Holy Ghost would fall on somebody in that congregation, they'd be either be put out or pitied. They would stick out. And if the Word of God would come and say in plain words, "Come out of her, my people," they wouldn't even know what he was talking about. I've seen it happen.
That's already happened several times.
Several times. So the Bible is relevant. The situation that exists is so unbelievable, so unbelievably evil and destructive, that you have to learn the Old Testament and see the condition of God's own people to even be able to believe it, really understand it. This is not unprecedented. You're seeing it in Judges, and you'll see it even more perfectly later as the history of the Old Testament goes along. But I find no fault with Jesus. And I want to make sure I do my job. If God chooses anybody in here to anoint, prophesy, to heal, to do whatever, I think I know us all well enough to know that we'd be happy about that. Be excited about it. Christianity does not need the power of God. It doesn't need the Holy Ghost to become more what it is. It doesn't need the truth, because the truth would set people free from it. Christianity can become bigger and bigger. The churches can grow and grow and grow without the Holy Ghost, without the truth, without the power of God, without the anointing of God. It can do without God. And it does. But I can't do without God. He created me what I am. And I'm thankful. It's a painful thing to get around some of God's people who do have the Spirit and see the condition of their hearts, the confusion, the fear, the lack of understanding, the lack of joy, the absence of peace and understanding. And some of them have the sweetest spirits. Satan has done a masterful job. But he's no match for what Jesus is going to do for his people. And I don't know whether we'll see it in our lifetime. Some of you are young enough, maybe you will. But God's people are going to come out of Christianity. And I know we are having a part in it, Lou, even if it's nothing but laying some groundwork for somebody else.
Amen.
Just whatever God wants to use us for is all right with me.
Amen.
Boy, what an exodus that's going to be.
John, one thing I've learned over the years is that in order to have fellowship, I've not been able to compromise to have it, and I've not been able to argue to have it.
You can't do it.
You don't get it either way. You have fellowship by just following Jesus, and that's it.
That's all.
The only way you can have it. If somebody else is following Jesus, they talk your language.
Right.
And you can't argue somebody into talking your language. Mm-hmm. You can't get them there by arguing it. And you can't get them there by compromising what you already know.
No way. Won't work. If you compromise, then if they have fellowship, they won't have it with you.
They won't. That's right.
It won't work. We don't have fellowship just because we're sitting in the same room.
That's right.
If the Spirit of God is telling you the same thing as telling me, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
And if it's not, we don't have fellowship. And I can't, I can't even, we can't buy it. There's nothing but believing and obeying God that creates fellowship. Nothing. You can't get together and have a covered dish supper and have it.
Well, now we can have a fellowship and covered dish supper.
In darkness, yeah.
Yeah.
Flesh.
Yeah, we can have fellowship. People have fellowship in darkness.
But not in Christ.
But not in Christ.
Think about how well it would have gone for Israel if God's ministers had done their job.
Yeah.
Not been afraid of losing their position. They couldn't lose their position. They were ordained. Did you know it is impossible for either you or me to make me not your pastor? You didn't do it. I didn't do it. I can't get out of it, and you can't throw me out. That's fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
And that's government. That's God's government. And the world won't recognize it because it can't control it. It can't approve of it. It can't observe it. Oversee it. That's the word I'm looking for. If the world can't oversee it, it refuses to believe it. But the government that God institutes by creating bodies of believers in different places is stronger than any board of directors you could vote in. More enduring than the Constitution of the United States.
Amen.
Faster than a speeding bullet. Well, more powerful than a locomotive. I just feel rescued. I feel as if we live in an oasis. But I am certain that God has little springs all over this world of people who care nothing for the proper religious form and care everything for whether they're pleasing God or not. God's got His people. They don't make the headlines. They sure are hated. God help us be true representatives of how good He is. And not be a stumbling block for anybody who really wants to find Him. And what you see in Judges is God in His tender mercy doing it man's way. That's what you see. His people were so far gone that He couldn't even hold them to the standard of the law, or He could never bless them. If He had held Gideon to the standard of the law, He couldn't have ever blessed him. And as soon as He blessed him, He made an idol for Israel to worship. If He had held Jephthah to the standard of God's law, He couldn't have even anointed him. And as soon as He anointed and blessed him, He sacrificed His own daughter to Jehovah. And Jehovah didn't even want her. He wanted her to stay alive and live right. Do good and be happy. She was a young, happy girl. He liked that. God told Israel through Moses, when you get into the land, worship in the one place that I choose. Don't worship on all the high places. God couldn't hold Israel to that in order to bless them. If he had, the sun would have stopped shining. And He did stop the rain every once in a while to try to get through to them. It says in 1 Kings 15 that Asa, King Asa, had a perfect heart toward God. But he didn't take down the high places. Perfection is relative to the conditions around you. Even the king didn't have the power to take down the high places that God said not to have. That's why, because we serve in the same God, that you hear of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this church or in that one. Not because God approves of those churches, but because He loves people. If God were to hold the people that He has chosen to the standard of the truth, and nothing but the truth of Jesus, nobody would receive the Holy Ghost anywhere in Christianity. He just won't do that. Any more than He refused to bless them in the Old Testament when they were doing the wrong thing because His ministers were not doing their job. Therefore, His people didn't know what to do. But to whom much is given, much shall be required. And I know some children of God who have been told and known what is right, and they haven't submitted to it. They're in a whole nother category. I hope God always gives me a heart where when I find out something is really of God, that's the end of my problems. That becomes me. When we found out, Brother Jimmy, that there was just one baptism, that's the only one we want. Find out there's just one Spirit of God, that's the only Spirit I want. Why want anything else? What is there to hold back about? Everything good God allows. Everything good God allows you to do. As a matter of fact, He withholds no good thing from those that walk uprightly. But Israel didn't know that. So Samson wanted a Philistine wife instead of a godly woman from Israel. God, help us be the kind of people that are satisfied with Him. And that's saying a lot. Pray to have the kind of heart that is satisfied with Jesus. It's the only kind of heart where there's peace. That's the tragedy of the book of Judges. God's people didn't know how to serve God. Every man, I think it says at the end of the book, did what was right in his own eyes, which always means everybody was doing the wrong thing. Nobody was even guessing right. Because it's not in us to know what is right. It comes from God. God had given it to them, but it didn't satisfy them. God, help us. Be the kind of people that fall in love with Jesus. I love God letting us feel what He feels about people. But I also love Him opening up our hearts to care about how He feels. Amen. God feels things. He feels sad. He feels happy. And when God's sad, we ought to be sad. Because somebody's done something wrong and it hurts Him to see it. Be that much in tune with the Spirit of God. If we walk after the Spirit, we won't do what Paul said. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise. Don't make Jesus sad. Make him glad He went to the cross. And every time somebody seeks Him and is filled with the Holy Ghost, it makes Jesus feel better about what He suffered. Amen. You know, you just see the father reaching over. You know, they hug each other. Reaching over and say, see, son, I told you it'd be worth it. Did you see Tracy down there clapping her hands, son? I told you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Make Jesus feel like it was worth what he went through. You could have the religion of Christianity if Jesus had never been born on earth other than the name. You could have all the ceremonies, you could have all the talk, you could have all the rituals, all the clothes, all the buildings, all the stained glass. You could have all of that without Jesus, except for the name. But you never receive the Holy Ghost in any other name. It doesn't come in the name of Muhammad, Pope John Paul, anybody. Jesus said the Spirit would come back in my name. Glory to God. And it will guide you into all truth. In His name. Praise God. Amen. Baptism in the name of Jesus is baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Baptism with the Holy Ghost is what came in His name.
Amen.
Praise God. And we don't gather in Jesus' name unless we gather in the Spirit. People without the Holy Ghost cannot gather in His name because they don't have what came in His name. And the only thing that ever did come in His name is the Holy Ghost. That's all. What else did God send because Jesus suffered and died? What else did He send to earth besides the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name? Well, how are we going to gather in His name without His Spirit? That is His name. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, His name is written on you. You're in His name. You can't gather in His name without being in His name. Praise God. That's right. Now you're talking my language, son. Praise God. Yes. That was the point that God used to take me away from my father, to turn me over to Jesus to be taught about His name. I was walking through my father's apartment one day and he stopped and he said, for no particular reason, we weren't talking about anything, he said, now you notice, he said, a lot of these preachers will lay hands on people to be healed, and at the end of that prayer, they'll say, in Jesus' name, but nothing happens. But Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done. So either Jesus was wrong, or saying the words in Jesus' name is not, doesn't make it in His name. Either the ceremony is not anointed, or Jesus was mistaken. But I'm one of those guys that thinks Jesus was always right. I believe every prayer prayed in His name is answered. He said so. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name shall be done. Well then, we got a ways to go to be able to have in His name in our prayers. And I would rather see that and admit my need of God than to pretend it's not there and carry on a form and just try to impress people.
We admit that it's not there. We have better hope of seeing it.
That's our opportunity to seek it. Somewhere down the line, we've got to come to the point where we admit to ourselves it just doesn't matter what we say. It just doesn't matter. So there's no point in arguing. The only thing that matters is the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's not the Bible. That's whatever God says. I could read this out loud all day long and never say the first Word of God. The Word of God, it says, is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is so sharp, it can divide the bone and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. Now, there's no man who can understand how that happens. Praise God. It just isn't about us. I feel like a bunch of people marching with placards, and we're just saying, we want God. We want God. We don't want that other junk. It won't heal a broken heart. Christianity's never healed a single broken heart. It can't do it.
It's divided a few.
It's broken a few.
Yeah.
Oh my, the hearts Jesus has fixed.
Amen.
When Jesus listed the things that he was supposed to do on earth in Luke 4, in his first sermon in his hometown after being anointed with the power of God, he said, God has sent me to preach. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first thing, he breaks down the gospel into what he's going to preach. Two or three, four things there. And the first thing was to heal the brokenhearted. First thing Jesus starts with people is their heart. Give them encouragement. Doesn't matter how far they've degraded themselves. Doesn't matter how badly they've been abused or mistreated. The first thing he gives you is hope. That's the beginning of the healing of a broken heart. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. David found that out. He starts out with the broken heart and starts to fix it by giving it hope that it can be happy again, free, innocent again. Clean in his sight. God turns harlots into virgins, ready to be the bride of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. No, my son. And I'm looking for the day, I'm dreaming of the day when every time Jesus heals a broken heart, he gets all the credit. Because right now, as scattered as God's people are, when one of God's children that has his spirit is in a Baptist denomination, when Jesus does something wonderful for them, Christianity is part of the credit. But it didn't do it. Jesus did it. Even if the person blessed doesn't say that, just their belonging there says to others, belonging here would get you there.
Yeah.
And that's a lie. Because you can get there without that.
That's right.
So what do you need it for? What's the point? If you can get in touch with God, if you can get in touch with God without Christianity, what do you need it for? This is like 1 + 1 = 2. What is God saying to humanity by giving 21, at least 21 people the Holy Ghost here in the last 2 years, and they've all rejected Christianity? What is Jesus trying to tell us?
Amen.
It's got to say, God makes no mistakes. He's not nervous. He doesn't get in a hurry. If somebody who's sitting in the Pope's palace tonight repents of sin, seeks God with their whole heart, they'll get the Holy Ghost just like the people right here. That's what it takes. Has nothing to do with the Pope's palace. Had nothing to do with this house. It has to do with faith in God.
Amen.
Faith in God plus Jesus means you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You don't need to add water.
Amen.
You need it. Paul said that you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. All you have to do is be in Christ. That's all. You are complete. God is happy with you.
Amen.
You need nothing else. You're good enough if you're in Christ. All you got to do is figure out how to get in Him. That's all.
That can happen anytime, anywhere.
Wherever God decides to give you the Holy Ghost. So, what do you have to join in order to get in Christ? Well, then, if you're in Him, when you get in Him, you're complete, so why join anything? What kind and how many baptisms of water do you have to get in order to get into Christ? We've had, like I say, about 21 people the last 2 years get into Christ here in this room, and I don't know if any of them have ever been baptized with water or not. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. If they did, they can repent for it. All you got to do is get in Him. Three verses in your Bible will tell you how to get in Him. Romans 6:3, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Galatians 3:27. That's it. There's only three that will actually say this happens and you're in Him. And all of them say one word, baptism. But not in water. What body of water on this earth is so holy that if you are baptized in it, you're in Christ? There is no pure water on this earth. All of it's got a tiny bit of something in it. But if you're baptized in the Spirit, that water is clean. When you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, you are complete. That was what Paul said. And if you're complete, you're going to be saved in the end. All you have to do is stay complete. Don't start breaking up. Giving a little bit of your faith to this over here, and a little bit of faith to Baal over there, and a little bit of faith to, oh, I think I'll put a little bit of my faith in the Methodist. They're, I had some kinfolk who are Methodists. That's good. That's you breaking up. Stay complete. David prayed, God, unite my heart to fear your name. And God has a simple method for anybody on earth who wants to know who's telling the truth. You don't have to even know the Bible, according to Jesus. Jesus told us in one sentence what you could do to know who it was speaking from God and who was making something up. In John 7, He said, if any man is willing to do, if any man wants to do, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or another. If what you really in your heart want is to do the will of God, you're going to know when somebody starts talking whether he knows anything from God or not.
Amen.
Not because you're wise, but because God promised. He's going to let you know who's heard from him and who has not.
That's right.
When I started to tell you that story about my father said, you see ministers lay hands on people and say at the end of their prayer, in Jesus' name, nothing happened. But Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my Father's name shall be done. He never gave me an answer. He just walked off. I don't even know if he remembered it the next day. But I couldn't get away from it. It was like the Lord used that to penetrate my soul, to draw me aside where it was me and my Bible. I thought it was just me and my Bible. Jesus was there. He had decided to take over my education. And I made up my mind I was going to study that Bible and find out what in his name meant. And I don't even think I got past Exodus chapter 20 because that's where God bushwhacked me. He was waiting for me to get there to begin my education in the Holy Ghost. And I found out what in his name meant. It meant in him. It's when his name comes into you. When did you take on God's name? When's God's name? When did you become a child of God? Amen. When you entered into his covenant. And when you entered into his covenant, then you could gather where two or three of you are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of you. He was talking to people with his spirit who were in his name. If two, Jesus was there in that conversation with you and me today, Earl, where two of you are gathered in my name. I've just been feeling the love of God and the soberness of the Spirit all afternoon. I felt like I was about to cry all day long. For so many reasons. God's people, the blessings that he's given, the hungry souls out there who are not being fed, the amount of work that there is to be done. Earl came over and said, I've been crying this afternoon too. Just feeling. The feelings of God. And it's more valuable than gold.
Yes, it is.
And I believe Jesus was right there with us. Feeling the same things. Pray that God will raise up workers for his vineyard. There's a lot of work to be done. And we can't do it all. Lord have mercy. We can hardly even start doing it all. But what a glorious day it's going to be when God's voice that we have heard and others have heard is really heard in earnest. And God's people finally figure out what he's saying to them, Lou, when he says, come out of her, my people. When they hear that, oh my. We're less than what we could be in Christ because our brothers and sisters are still in prison. We could become more of what we want to be with their testimonies, with their lives, with their understanding, with their experiences. That's why I hate everything that separates us. If there is anything that I could change about what I'm teaching in order to facilitate the harmony of God's people, I'd change it right now. That's why I stay so open to people who write on the internet, write them back, say, thing, add something to me, Lou. Keep asking them, what's wrong with this? I found out I was willing to change because when God spoke to me, I changed. I know I'm willing to change. I found that out. Let's stay willing because God still has a lot to teach us. Well, that's how I've been feeling today. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you see now. And when you even see the good guys in the book of Judges making idols, it'll discourage you and make you wonder if anything's real unless your eyes are open to see the reality right now. It's still going on. Some of the good guys today are still making idols, thinking to serve God. And it's our part to be a light and let them know they don't have to. Save their money. Don't spend that silver on that idol. Keep it and buy some bread and milk with it. Brother Earl and I were talking. We went through the thing. Well, there's nothing wrong with God. Everything good He allows. If somebody really wants goodness, they shouldn't fear coming to God. Everything good is okay. So then we just go back to examining ourselves. God, are we a stumbling block for your people? Are we saying anything? Are we teaching anything? Are we living? Do we have any kind of habits or ways about us that would hinder people from loving God or seeing how good He is? We don't want any of that. We want to be loving people, patient, merciful, and understanding. Because we needed all of that, and so do others. The Lord helps us know what is important and what's not. Gets our priorities in order. I had a conversation on email, I think I sent it out to you, from a man in Washington State. And he was brought up an issue and went back and forth with it. And I didn't know. Maybe that was right. But it wasn't important. And I wrote him back and I said, well, that might be the right thing, but I think we need to emphasize things. Even if it is right, I don't think we ought to emphasize it, teach it as doctrine, because it's just no big deal. It's just the meaning of a word. You know, there have been people put to death in Christian history because of this. That's Greek. Whether that has a little I in there or not, has caused people to lose their lives. Bickering, hatred, strife over nothing. Theological correctness. Whether Jesus was just like the Father or the same substance of the Father, and all that theological vomit. Whether that little wafer was really Jesus' body or whether it was just something good to eat. People have been burned alive over that issue. Christians burning Christians. God helps us get past all of that and understand what's important. When He does that, it's real easy to love people. I thank God tonight for what He's done to us. I believe if He'd treat anybody the way He's treated me, they'd be where I am.
Amen.
It's just God's work and His mercy. It's got me and you both where we are. And I thank Him for it. I just wish more people understood it and could enjoy it with us. That's the only thing that could make it better. It's like watching a beautiful sunset by yourself. I've never enjoyed it. I've seen some of the most spectacular sunsets and been frustrated the whole time because I wanted to run and get somebody, and I knew when I ran and got them and brought it back, it'd be dark. I couldn't even enjoy it. Well, to a certain extent, that's how it is in the Lord. All our joy, and what a mountain of joy God's given us, is always tempered whenever thoughts of our brothers and sisters who don't have it comes through. It's always tempered. It's coming a day when it's not going to be tempered or mixed, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
It's overwhelming sometimes the way it is right now. And what He does is that He takes all thoughts of anything that disturbs it away for a little while.
That's right.
You can't even think, can you, Lou? And that's a blessing.
Amen.
Takes you out of your head. Praise God. Amen. Like we said before, if you think, you've missed it. Praise God. Don't stand around debating in your heart when the Holy Ghost starts moving. Be thankful that God's doing something. You know? That He's shown up. That He's interested in you. That He's got an open door. Here's the Creator of heaven and earth opening a door and saying, "Oh, well, let me think about this." Oh, no. What if my grandmother ever jumped in at that time? I wonder what Dr. So-and-so would say about that.
What my wife
would say. Oh, boy. What vanity. Emptiness. And when you finish thinking, you feel just as bad as you did in the start. And if you forget your brain and double somersault into the middle of the pool, you feel different. You just feel different. And you're glad you did. Praise God. No, my son. No. Amen. My son. When you find out what Jesus is up to, you get up to it. He's not doing something wrong. He's always doing the right thing. So when he sends the Spirit, it's right. Yeah, it's already been decided for you whether you need it or not. You don't have to ask. You don't have to debate it.
Mm-mm. Or, I don't know about that. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to not know about it.
It's already right.
It's already known. It's already good.
It's already decided.
Praise God. I am learning to love whatever God does. And when I feel His Spirit moving, He's doing something. And I love it. I love the moving of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because it's right. Jesus is up to something. I like to get up to it with Him. Follow Him around. Oh, He's going over here. Oh, no, He's going. I'm going this way. Excuse me. Wherever He goes, I go. Yes. Would you rather He do nothing and we all just go through the routine? When the Holy Ghost starts moving, you drop your routine. You forget your tradition. You forget your opinion. You forget you. You forget Uncle Sam. You forget everything. It's Jesus. It's the King. He's arrived. He's doing something. Bow down. Bow down. The King's here.
Step aside, please. Step aside. It's not about you. It's not about you.
Amen. Amen. It's not even about whether you're ready or not. It's not about that. When He shows up, you're ready. Oh, glory to God. He's decided you're ready. He's decided that you're ready for Him to show up. You don't have to finish putting on your makeup. You're ready.
You don't have to get dressed. Oh,
glory to God.
You don't have to get in the mail.
Ah.
You don't have to get to the water. You don't have to get to the mail.
You don't even have to make it here. He's King. Glory to God. And He's always right. Always right. Always right.
He's King, and the King is
please step aside. All I can see is the king walking through, and all you have to do is step out of the way.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. You're ready. You're ready to do that. Praise God. Now, just the foolishness of man and the flesh. Man is sinful, dirty, in need of the tenderest mercy from God, in need of anything God has. And God is so holy, the Bible says, He has to humble Himself even to behold angels. He does Gabriel a favor by letting Gabriel see him. And He, who is higher than the highest, condescends to extend His presence in the midst of mortal creatures, and they stand back and say, I wonder if that's for me or not. I wonder if I like that. That shows you what man's made out of. You feel His presence, you bow down. It doesn't matter how worthy you are, it's how worthy He is. You're not even worthy for His presence to show up. It's the least we can do to bow our hearts before Him. Because He's worthy. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. He's worthy. Who are you? It's Jesus. Amen. 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 When the presence of God shows up, your reaction shows how important you think you are. That's what it shows up. Amen. His presence shows everybody what they think of themselves. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank God for the privilege of praising Him. The privilege of thanking Him. Amen. No, 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 no,